All right, folks, welcome into the Orlando Soccer Show post-game show. Following the 1-1 draw between the Orlando City Soccer Club and Chicago Fire, a disappointing result for the Lions for sure, and we are here to talk all about it and figure out, well, what the hell just happened. I'm Austin David. Joining me is Gavin Eubank and Mike Ramajo. Guys, it's so disappointing, and James O'Connor said it after the game. He said it's unacceptable to give up a goal the way they did in the 94th minute, in the fourth minute of stoppage time. The team looked like they had just kind of resigned themselves. They were like, oh, we won. The whistle should blow any second. And then it didn't, and then they got scored on. And this is such an Orlando City thing to continuously happen to this team. It doesn't matter who changes on the roster. It always seems to happen from 2015 till 2019. There's always been a game in the beginning of the season where they will concede a late equalizer to either pull a draw from the jaws of victory or a defeat from the jaws of a tie. What did you see in this game, guys? Gavin, start with you.
Well, you know, last week was the story is kind of, you know, Orlando played well enough. They should have won the game. They came out with a draw. This week is kind of the opposite. They obviously did not deserve to win the game. They should have won the game, but they then, you know, poor mistakes in the end kind of lead to it. And a lot of people are going to say, you know, if you coming into the match and, you know, everyone coming in would have wanted a draw as a best case scenario. When you look at the circumstances of where they were being just moments away from picking up 3 points, the fact that they did not pull out the victory, it's very disappointing. And James O'Connor has every reason to be upset after the match because, you know, Orlando, they came into their own. They did everything that they needed to do, and they still couldn't pull it off. And, you know, we knew that they were going to bunker down. We knew that they were not going to have a lot of possession. We knew they were going to only have a couple opportunities, which they did with only 2 shots on goal, 41% of possession. And they were able to get a lucky goal, whatever you want to call it, a lapse in defense by Chicago. They were able to get a goal and bunker down, and they sat back. And there was a couple of moments when they went up 10 men that they kind of had a little bit of momentum going towards them. And then, you know, they just stopped. They sat back. They let Chicago continue to push towards their final third. And eventually the defense broke and they gave up a goal.
Yeah, and Orlando pulling out a draw on the road would have been fine. A draw against 10 men with a goal in the last second is inexcusable. Just like James O'Connor said, that is a cardinal sin in the second game of the season. And you go back and look at that play, and we'll spend a little bit of time on the play and then go into the game as a whole, because I feel like the play overshadows the game as a whole on what they did. But let's talk about the play, because that's the talking point. So everybody stopped. Everybody stopped from the midfield to the defense to the goalkeeper. Go back and watch the play. Mendez did not close out the cross. Cross comes in. Bit of a miscue between Dejan and O'Neal. O'Neal didn't jump with Sapong. Then Sapong wins the header. Rowe was caught out in no man's land because he was halfway out of his goal, then retreated back, was caught flat-footed, and by the time he was diving for the ball, it was past him. And all of that combined to, again, steal the victory away, and they end up losing 2 points on the night or on the day. Simple as that. Mike, what do you have to say about the game?
I mean, yeah, you kind of said it there. The team would have walked away with a draw. It would have been okay, but this is a draw where Orlando was up a man for obviously the most of the second half. And they give up a late goal, and yeah, it's one of those games where it's like you let the win get away, and you have to settle with a disappointing draw because that's what it really is. I mean, let's be frank, this really wasn't a great overall game from Orlando City. Chicago outplayed them. They held more possession. They had more shots. They had more opportunities, and this was expected of Chicago. Obviously, when we look at NYCFC in Chicago, NYCFC simply didn't have any. Well, they simply didn't have as many attacking options as Chicago has, and obviously we saw Orlando kind of fall back and kind of defend a little bit, and obviously there was even missed opportunities where Orlando probably could have added another goal when they were up a man. I believe there was a play where Nani played a ball to Dom Dwyer. He took the goalkeeper and failed to kind of put that put that goal away.
Yeah, it ended up being offside before he even got to the goal. So the way that the ARs are taught now is if there's any question as if the play is offside or not, they'll keep the flag down, wait for VAR to check it while the play is going on, then the ref will raise the flag once they hear from the check. So once they hear from upstairs offside, they'll put it up or when the play is over. So that's what happened with the Dom scoring chance where he rounded the keeper but then kind of tripped over himself. He was already offside to begin with.
But I do think that obviously in the final third there wasn't that much creativity being produced. In the midfield, however, I really liked how Sebastian Mendes was kind of bossing up that midfield and kind of linking up with Sasha Kljestan to push the ball up forward. There was a lot of good looks out there. Even Will Johnson had a pretty good game. Surprised that he tackled the crap out of one player and I don't think was he issued a yellow card?
He was not.
No, he won the foul for that.
Yeah,
he won the foul. So he fouled someone to win a foul, and I thought that was pretty interesting. Kamal Miller had a few good looks. I'm still sometimes a little skeptical about him because it seems like he's still a little shaky in that back line.
He's a rookie. It's natural. Like the best way to get him experience and to get those jitters out is to play him. And to play him in these situations to get him acclimated. And with Carlos Asquez not 100% healthy and maybe Kamal Miller fitting the more play style of James O'Connor more, I think they run with him a little bit longer. But there were a few mistakes, and you mentioned it a little bit, but there was one time where he was keeping, I think it was Nikolic on side early in the second half, where he was completely out of line with the back line, two steps in front of them. And he was able to get back and make a play to knock it away, but that should never have been a play in the first place. And that's with a guy that's two games into his professional career, that's going to happen. But you mentioned the midfield, and I want to go back to that because there were a lot of good passages, right? Not necessarily a lot of good up front, and you kind of got an idea of this was the game plan for Orlando City, right? Absorb a little bit, pressure in the midfield. Try and force turnovers and capitalize on them. And that's a typical road strategy for teams in MLS. Because
I'm curious to know, though, obviously with Tesho Akindele's injury, if that changed things a lot.
Yeah.
The game plan. Because think about it. What if Tesho Akindele would have stayed in that match a lot longer? And maybe James O'Connor probably had an original plan where he probably saw Dom Dwyer coming in later in the game in a worst-case scenario. It almost seems like – I mean, obviously it was forced because you can't have an injured guy playing on the field, but it almost seems – that injury kind of changed the plans of how James O'Connor was going to try to
– Yeah, 100% it changed the plans. And I found it interesting that O'Connor went with Dom rather than Mueller. And, Mueller probably fresher legs.
Well, Dom got the goal,
so. Yeah, Dom got the goal, and it worked out in the end, sure.
Yeah.
But Dom still, I don't think, is 90 minutes fit. He only played, 75 minutes or so? But still, they're trying to ease him back in because he had no preseason. But he went out there and still played another 75 minutes. So, it's whatever at this point, but it definitely changed the complexity of the game. It changed the strategy of the game because James O'Connor had a plan in, and when those plans change, you have to adapt. It worked up until the 94th minute, and there, as a coach, there's nothing you really can do about what happened on the field. You have to be able to go out and trust the players that you put on the field to be able to communicate well enough that doesn't happen, and they didn't. It was a total collapse of the entire back line and the goalkeeper.
Which just shows that Orlando City still has a long way to go as far as making people believe that this team can compete for the rest of the season.
Good thing it's early in the season. You get it out of the way now and you learn from it. It's still it's a young team and they have the ability to come back from it. But it's a theme. It's a theme every year. Different coaches, different players. It still seems to be a constant theme.
It almost seems like Shane O'Neill underestimated CJ Sapong's ability to get up in the air and
I don't know if he. I don't know if he underestimated him. I think his legs were tired and he was just kind of half-assing
it. Well, there too, because he didn't really put an effort either into getting up there with him to stop it.
Quick note about Tesho Akindele. Official word from the team is that he has a lower body injury and that he will be reevaluated by the medical staff when they return to Orlando.
As expected.
Yes. So, but that is the official word from the team. Just got the text. So. Yeah, it's unlucky. I quickly want to go back to the midfield because we were talking about that. Talked about Mendez. I want to mention Sasha Kljestan and Will Johnson because they put in a ton of work, and especially Sasha. Oh, yeah. Sasha, I haven't seen him that lively in the midfield in a long, long time. He was pressuring the hell out of everyone on the field. He was tracking back on defense. He was getting forward. He was instigating the offense. He was running forward. He was getting into the attack, and he looked like a spry young man comparatively to how he has played the past season even. And I think that's partly because James O'Connor is asking a lot of him, and he has the ability to step up, right? I think that last season maybe they were playing a different style, and the way that James O'Connor wants to play, it's constant pressure, constantly pressuring through the midfield, trying to force those turnovers and capitalizing on them. And you saw a lot of opportunities come for Orlando in the midfield in terms of just turning the ball over and gaining possession. But then they just couldn't do anything in the final third. And I want to bring it back to maybe what Orlando could have done in the final third, because you saw Nani and Dom Dwyer. They picked and chose their times to press. But there were times where maybe they could have pressed a little bit more. There were times where Chicago was kind of back on their heels. They were a little bit of sixes and sevens, and they wanted to just clear the ball. And I think that would have been good times for Nani and Dwyer to press, and they kind of didn't. And there were times where they were taking it up into the midfield, just past them, and they were kind of just walking.
You think about it, too, like those guys are – the rest of the team has been playing together throughout preseason and up to this point. Those guys have not been. So it's going to, I mean, it makes sense that it's going to take a little bit more time for them to kind of get up to speed with the way that the rest of the guys are trying to move and play.
Right. But playing that formation and that system, you need everyone to be able to buy in, because if one guy is not playing up to the part, like the standard that everybody else is in terms of pressing, the press doesn't work. It's only so effective if only three quarters of your team is pressing the way you want them to. And I think that's why you saw a little bit of what Akindele and Mueller had in the preseason, and why they were probably starting to this point instead of forcing other guys out there onto the field. They ran with guys that they believed in would press and do exactly what the coaching staff needed them to do.
Yeah, and you think about when you mentioned Sasha and Will Johnson, that this kind of play suits these guys perfectly, because the Red Bull has played the exact same high press, high energy kind of system under Jesse Marsh, and he was very used to that. He excelled in that system, and then coming to Orlando, may be able to do that here. And then Will Johnson, again, is another high energy guy who can get around and can press guys and get all over the field. So it suits him just as well, too.
Right. You have those guys. I mean, Mendez, Johnson and Kljestan, those three kind of in the midfield did incredibly well, just shutting down a lot of opportunities. The wingbacks, I think Juan, when he came in, obviously that injection of pace makes a huge difference. Kyle Smith had some moments where he looked a bit out of his depth, and he is still a USL player adjusting to the MLS level of play. It'll take him some time. Danny Acosta was pretty good, I would say. I thought he got forward, got back when he needed to, and was generally just a good, solid player. And even in the back line, you know, despite that one error, Shane O'Neill was very solid in the back. Alex Dejean, he did really well for with some of those balls over the top, looking for Nikolic and Sapong. I thought he really did incredibly well with the defensive task that he was given. It's a shame that the way it ended kind of leaves a dark mark on that.
I'll yield to Mike on this one.
Right. No, I mean, obviously, I think the subs that were able to come in for Orlando, Dom Dwyer made a difference. Juan made a difference in terms of his pace, as Austin said. Chris Mueller was – I'm kind of surprised on that one because, you know, obviously if Orlando was playing very laid back towards the end of the match, you would probably think of bringing more of a defensive-minded player. I have to look back at the bench on –
Yeah, well, I mean, Chris Mueller played as a wing back the last game against NYC, so he has the ability to track back, and he's okay defensively, but he also gives you the option of when you're going forward to take it to the corner, which they didn't do.
Yeah.
You know, there were three or four instances where they were on the break, and you just take it to the corner, and you sit there for a few seconds and let the time tick by, but instead they kind of got too cheeky with it. They got too aggressive and tried to play it into goal, and then turnover or a foul committed on a bad touch, and it is, you know, just play simple, get the result.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for one takeaway, I think my thing would kind of be the stats are not going to show Orlando played well, and a lot of people are going to see that and think, you know, the team kind of got overran, and obviously everyone's going to hang their hats on the last goal in the final minute, but I think all in all, you know, Orlando had a game plan. They came out and they executed it. And other than a couple shaky moments of defense early in the first half, where, you know, Nikolic almost scored a couple of times, defensively they were much better than they were last week, I think, you know, all things considered. And overall, they executed the game plan well. And, you know, yeah, they could have gotten 3 points, but they got out with a point. And, you know, like I said, going into the match, that's what you wanted. You know, circumstances are that they should have gotten the 3 points, but when you look at how they played, and, you know, obviously Chicago is far from clinical in their own rights throughout the match, but I think, you know, if you're looking for something to kind of take away, it's that you should be optimistic that the team's kind of owning their roles and what James O'Connor wants them to do.
I kind of disagree with that almost completely, actually. I don't think you go into that game only wanting a point. I think you go into every game wanting 3 points, because if you have the mentality of going in and getting a draw, then that you're already hurting yourself.
I'm saying best case scenario, you're getting out of here with a point when you look at everything that was going against them. Obviously, they want to win.
But
you're looking at what the best case scenario is, it's, all right, we're probably going to be lucky to get out of here with a point.
Right, but that's not even the best case scenario, because they were 30 seconds away from getting three.
Not coming into the game.
Well, that's the thing. You're handcuffing yourself right there by going into the game and having a mentality of best case scenario is 1 point. You don't.
I guess maybe Gavin's alluding to the history. It's pretty easy to fall into that mentality, of which I think most fans have, that, okay, we're going on the road, the best case scenario is getting a draw. I think you really don't really look at Orlando City getting 3 points. I mean, think about it. Orlando, and this is from what the commentator said on ESPN Plus, Orlando has the second longest away losing streak in the league.
Yeah, it was 14 games heading into today. So, like, so the fact that they even got a point is almost a miracle when you think about what they've been doing on the road lately.
Yeah, but again, that was last season. This is a whole new season. It should be a whole new mentality, right? It shouldn't be that past seasons affect this season. It happens, obviously, because this is a theme now, like we said earlier. But it shouldn't be that mentality, right? That's something that James O'Connor is I'm assuming trying to instill in these guys, that you have to go into a game wanting 3 points, regardless of what happened before. And, you know, that's my thought of it. I feel like it's a new season. You have to have a new mentality with it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, nobody should go into a match expecting to lose or thinking, hey, we're probably not going to win. But, you know, you got to do it. You got to deal with what you get.
Yeah. Well, Orlando will have another opportunity to get 3 points back at home against the Montreal Impact. That game is going to be on Saturday, March 16th. That game will kick off at 4:00 at Orlando City Stadium. Tickets available, blah, blah, blah. You know the rest. I won't be there because I'll be over in Kissimmee for the Seawolves game. They're taking on the Milwaukee Wave again, who they just lost to 13-2.
Woof.
Serenity now.
Serenity now. Serenity now. All right. Any final thoughts before we log off and quit Twitter?
Does anyone have a player of the game?
Well, we'll have the recap if it's already published at orlsoccerjournal.com, written by yours truly, Gavin Eubank.
Thanks for the plug.
I don't really think it's a really great recap.
Oh, wow.
In terms of the result, I said, I'm still editing it. It's a bit. No, but it obviously, in terms of the result, obviously, it was – when you look at this game
– there wasn't a lot to recap. Let's just put it like that.
There wasn't. The first half was a snooze fest, and obviously the second half we saw what happened.
Listen, how do you think the Seawolves recap is going to look when they lose 13-2?
It's probably going to be filled with blood.
No, it'll be about 5 sentences.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what are you gonna write? The Seawolves played today. They
scored,
did not win.
No,
they won 13 goals.
No. The Seawolves played today. They scored 2 goals. They come back home for their next series of games. I'd say that's a pretty good recap, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, just leave out all the get that negative energy out of here. Just honestly, only positives.
Gavin, you gotta say something positive.
Yeah, say something positive.
Say something positive. All right, enough rambling. This is the end of the Orlando Soccer Show post-game show. Orlando draw 1-1 with the Chicago Fire. We'll be back next week for a full show. Thanks for listening.